Hey, Mom. Life is going well. I don't have any
Welcome to the Concept
dependencies.
Crucible podcast, where we're not addicted to sugar. I'm Jim.
That is just a lie.
It really is.
Well, that's not really. I mean, if
Tell him your name!
No! Hi, I'm Ryan.
I'm Gina. Also scared.
Apparently, this is the yelling at each other episode.
Don't yell at each other, it'll blow the mic.
God damn it, Gina! Why do you make costumes?
I think you've incapacitated her, which means you get to go first. No, we're talking about costumes, specifically how to make costumes and how to make costumes good, which is not a thing I know anything about. So I brought in help. Ryan and Gina have made a lot of costumes. Sometimes they make costumes for other people.
This is true.
Sometimes those
Yes.
people are me.
Also true.
Except you just asked a much deeper question than I thought. I thought we were trying to work out how to make costumes well, but apparently we are now working on how to make costumes good.
Yes.
Which,
look, this is a philosophy podcast, man. Here, eat some candy. It'll be okay. That's how you make costumes good. No, so Ryan, given the Gina, oh, actually, Gina, no, now that you're no longer incapacitated by laughter,
For now.
what kinds of costumes do you make? What kinds of costumes have you made?
Not enough. I really like making character costumes. My big thing is little details. So I enjoy challenges of the costume. And to me, that's what makes a good costume or a good cosplay, is paying attention to the little details. That doesn't mean I'm judging anybody for how they put their costumes together. Except that I'm judging everybody for how they put their costumes together.
Okay.
But that's my interest and my challenge. The first cosplay costume that we did with my partner was Inuyasha, and two of the female characters that I cannot remember off the top of my head right now. But
Show notes.
Embarrassing.
I know.
Show notes. No, that's what the show notes are for.
Geek shame, geek shame.
A month ago, I forgot Sarah Green's name, and I almost referred to her as John Green's wife.
I don't know who Sarah Green is, or whether or
She
not
runs the
she.
art assignment, and she's awesome.
Oh, that's really cool.
She's also a distinct person from just being John Green's wife.
I was hoping that she was, in fact, actually John Green's
She
wife.
is John Green's wife, but
Oh, remembering that she is a distinct individual from the
That's
well
what the show
done.
Notes are for.
Well, the important bit was the Inuyasha costume. And I was building them, and I had not done a character cosplay. I'd done lots of costumes before, like a Star Trek costume, Little Bo Peep, things like that for people, but never a character where we're drawing specific reference. And it wasn't on my radar. Thankfully, it was on my partner's radar, that he wanted to be very, very accurate with it. And that was even down to the folds that you saw in the fabric, how it was, the kimono was particularly built. This one in particular tied with a leather, thin leather piece across the shoulder. So we made sure that, you know, we did that. And that's, for me, that's what makes it impressive. That's what makes it good. When you see a really good cosplay or costume, you may not even recognize what, oh my God, that's fabulous. And the reason it's fabulous are those little details. It wasn't just velcroed up here. The black, you know, line you see in the cartoon is there, represented somehow. Doing a really good Borderlands cosplay that we talked about is all about putting the cel shading on the fabric as opposed to just wearing the suit. So that's what I love to do. And making costumes for other people, I find more enjoyable than making them for myself in a lot of cases. We'll talk about that in a bit. And it's, again, it's making those little details. It's making sure that Handsome Jack's power cell has a power cord going up around the shoulder instead of just the shield sitting there for it. So that's what I like doing. That's where my interest is.
Ryan?
I like hitting things with hammers.
What kinds of things?
I'm not really that fussy.
It's true.
No, my favorite part of costuming is learning a new skill when making a costume. So finding something that is always a challenge that I have not made before is the joyful part of making a costume. I also love to take things that don't exist and probably couldn't exist, like things that have only ever been drawn and possibly not even animated, so that you never have to show it from the side that doesn't make sense or really think about the physics of how somebody might move inside of this creation and try to make that not only look like it did in the comic or the cartoon, but make it a thing that is a wearable piece of clothing or armor, mostly armor, and make it move and make it function, and even try to make it out of a believable material for what it was in the show and bring it actually to life. And that's my favorite thing. Also, fire.
Fire is a great tailoring tool.
I don't know that I've ever seen you do a costume that involved fire, apart from heating metal to beat it up.
Most of my costumes have involved fire at some point. I don't wear costumes that involve having open flames. Mostly because of the restrictions on the places I go wearing them.
Fair enough. So, last podcast, Ryan mentioned in his head that he had, in his head, prototyped an M. Bison costume wherein he actually hovered. Ryan, go.
Okay, so a hover frame isn't really that much of a new invention. Magicians use them all the time. So, basically, all you need to do is have a frame on wheels. So, this bit magicians don't typically use. That then is strong enough and leveraged in such a way that the front wheels are out past you, the back wheels are behind you, and then a steel welded frame up to your spine, and then a climbing harness under your costume, or if you've got the money, a hover harness that they use in the movies, and then you could just hover, and if you have friends, they can push you around, or
enemies,
or with a little bit more effort, you could get a little remote control in one hand that could drive, so you could drive around and just hover. And then have some little, like, LEDs on the bottom of your shoes that glow. Done.
That's legit. Well done. I did not believe that it could be done.
I'm not going to say it's going to be comfortable.
No. It's also going to make it really difficult to do things like tie your shoes.
The thing that's difficult is escalators. Stairs? I don't do stairs! I also really want to do a Claptrap cosplay on a unicycle. But I can't idle yet.
There's self-balancing unicycles you can get.
What?
So they self-balance and sit still.
That seems weird and wrong and broken, but okay.
We may have been, on the weekend, I was doing some filming, and we may have discussed the possibilities of a Gizmo Duck costume. Mm-hmm.
Oh, from Darkwing Duck?
Which would also involve a unicycle. When you guys, I mean, so Gina, your focus is details, and getting the details right makes a good costume great.
It does. Yeah, it makes a good costume great, and there's little things like, if a character's hair is white, you do not get a blonde wig, right? There are white wigs. You get a white wig, and those are little things that bug me. But they take sourcing, and I think I have a lot of fun with that. Like where Ryan's building a lot of his materials, I'm sourcing them and upcycling existing materials. So finding actually the watch that I'm wearing now is a cosplay piece that I started, and it was a flat black watch that I added all the studs to match the character exactly. And as a result, like, that happens to me a lot, actually, because I don't know if I do normal cosplays as such, but since I source a lot of the materials for those extra details, when I'm doing that, a lot of those pieces end up in my regular wardrobe as a result, including the shoes I'm wearing today as well. These were my very, very sparkly shoes.
They can't see your shoes.
No, I know they can't. So.
She could click them and go to back to Oz.
Pretty much. The audio still
in the book, not in the movie. In the book.
Those were my rarity shoes, so.
I love making things from scratch. Like, if I could go and mine the ore and go from that point, that would be amazing. A stupid amount of work and way more expensive.
It'd be like Minecraft.
It would be a lot like Minecraft, yes.
Only more chest hair.
Yeah. Do you want? I'm gonna make you a Minecraft pick, and you're gonna go, and we're gonna start with that pick, and you are going to make yourself like a creeper costume, because all you have to do is take out a tree and pulp it, and soak it in water.
Every time Ryan helps me build something, which is as often as I need it, I always wind up at some point marveling and saying, man, this is just like Minecraft. And he yells at me. He says, no, Minecraft is like this.
It's true.
I know.
Making things
from scratch.
Making things from scratch. It's wonderful. It is.
But
and it's a really awesome feeling to have something that you went like, I made this entirely myself. Yeah. No one else's skill went into this. It's entirely a creation of my own, and I can hold up and go, I did this.
It's an excellent Gambit impression.
Well, Quebecois Gambit is best Gambit.
Quebecois Gambit is best Gambit.
But there's, I mean, that's daunting to a lot of people, and I think it keeps a lot of people out of it as well as budget and time and stuff like that. So that's where I tend to lean to the thrift store mods, just to be able to do that for it. Like, I love building from scratch.
Yeah. Brings up something in the costuming community that I hate, is the people that are like, oh, you don't do it my way, so you do it wrong.
That's right.
Excuse me, 13-year-old doing their first costume ever. I'm going to judge you and make you feel bad, rather than going, that's amazing, you did really well, that's so cool. Brilliant use of thrift store junk to create a costume. One of the best costumes I saw this year was because it was witty at Fan Expo. It was a guy that just took some really cheap fabric, took some vinyl zeros and ones, and some old computer cards that he glued together to make a scythe, and he was a blue screen of death.
Most excellent. That's awesome.
That is amazing.
I love costumes that have wit. And the nice thing about costumes with wit is that you sort of get around the judgy folk. Because they go, oh, that is witty. It doesn't have to be screen accurate.
But yeah, okay. When I say I love little details, I'm not.
Yeah, no, yeah. I know. It's there's the difference. Like, I will celebrate little details and go, that is incredible, and celebrate craftsmanship. But I will not harp on somebody that did not just spend the last 1,000 hours of their life making their costume, because. Yeah. That's probably not their thing.
I think, like, one of the greatest thrills I have is when you find a familiar and they recognize the costume. So we did Tiger and Bunny Gender Bend at Anime North. And again, the little detail. So I had if you know Tiger and Bunny, and if you don't, that's fine. The two characters have a pin that they wear. And nobody ever does the pin because it's a really tiny detail. It's not integral to the characters. But so many times at Anime North went, oh my god, you've even got the pins! Just that joy that it brings to somebody else, I think, is what drives me to do the little date. Oh my god, you did that! Oh my god, this! And, you know, it's that external joy to other
people.
The one
that got me is the backward story. My Gambit costume, Gambit has red eyes with black whites. And I haven't paid for the really nice contacts yet, but I got red contacts to finish off. That's what everyone comments on.
That's right.
The only part of the costume that I bought. Everything else I made from scratch.
So you can find a link to Ryan's Gambit costume post. And you have a video for it too, right?
Not yet.
Okay. Well,
because I'm lazy.
Costume post down there, video when it goes up. But yeah, you made... You hand-hammered out both metal boots and the breastplate and stitched the coat...
And made the face hat.
And made glowing throwing cards.
Those were epic.
Yeah, gotta fix that.
They were amazing.
Yeah. And of course, what everybody comments on, the eyeballs. I know they were trying to celebrate my costume. They comment on the eyeballs.
The little details backfired.
It's alright, I'm over it. It's fine. Aww. I really want to get the fancy contacts. They're so creepy.
I don't know. I can't deal with the contacts.
Yeah, uncomfortable?
I'm just, you're blind. I'm not blind. I just wear glasses, but...
Oh, what? They're just hipster then? They make me look a little more intellectual.
No, I'm not, they're not that... Like, my prescription's not that severe, you know.
Jim is actually in costume as Jim right now.
Yeah.
Jim.
That's only because I managed to dress myself with my glasses this morning. But no, I know, it's more that... My carelessness would lead me to leave in my contacts for too long, at which point
they would melt into your eyeballs and permanently become
that.
See, what I've found with contacts, I've only worn them a few times now, is that they don't really encourage carelessness. They encourage, oh god, get these out of my eyeballs now.
I'm a gym. I can't do them, and I really hate it because I love it, and being the little details person. It irks me, especially if a character is something about their eyes, like Gambit or something, and I just can't do them. But I have the other problem, too, that I do normally wear glasses. So adding glasses to a cosplay or a costume for a character that doesn't wear glasses is often really difficult. So, like, I've actually gone as far to go to some cheap online sites and buy a pair of glasses to fit that cosplay that would, like, I think that character would wear.
Yeah, for me, like, it's masks. I love wearing masks, but if I know that if I don't wear my glasses, I'm not blind, but I will have a killer headache by the end of the day, and by the end of the day, I mean, like, 2 hours from when I take them off.
The day will end somewhat prematurely.
So no, because I won't stop. I'll just endure with a headache and be grouchy for the rest of the day, but I love wearing masks, and it's really hard to get a mask that you can wear with glasses on. Unless you put the glasses over the mask, and they sort of sit there like that. But so I mean, I guess the piece of costume advice that comes out of that is be aware of your needs going into it.
Yes, and be realistic. I know a lot of people that are like, I am going to make this costume. I'm going to wear this costume all day, no matter what. And then they are miserable because they have chosen a costume that is 1,000,000 degrees, weighs 40 pounds, and, like...
It doesn't come off.
Doesn't come off.
And has a prop.
And digs into them in uncomfortable places.
And no pee hole.
Most costumes don't have a pee hole. They have a way to access your nether regions.
The jugular area?
The jugular area in case of emergencies. They don't just have, like, an evacuation port.
Well, what if you're Iron Man? Iron Man's got to have one of those, right?
No, he's got a filtration unit.
Like in a steel suit?
Yeah.
It's just like a...
It upcycles.
Oh.
So for me, it's the shoes. That is... The shoes are a huge thing, especially for female-gendered costumes. That's a whole other topic. But, you know, a lot of the superheroes... You will see the poor people wearing the high heel shoes. If you are not comfortable wearing high heel shoes for a long period of time, please do not think a convention is the best. I'm going to wear high heels for 18 hours straight. I do wear high heels a lot of the time, and even I can't do it. So that's the one place. It's the one place that I will tend to mod. I will find something appropriate. So again, the sparkly shoes work really, really well, and they go with the costume. So I'll go and get something that will match, something that'll fit, as opposed to just straight up wearing running shoes. Or if I do wear running shoes, maybe I change the lace color, or I make a boot cover for it, right? No, it's not perfect. No, in some cases, it's not as sexy or doesn't create the same line that I want for the costume. But that's where, if everything else is done, that'll be overlooked.
Yeah, and it's going to protect your health and your sanity. Exactly. And at a con, those are more important.
It is really difficult to, though, as well. Like, a lot of the times you see it... a cosplay you're admiring is just completely thrown off and completely ruined because of the footwear choice. And for me, it can go both ways. You're wearing a pair of great globby running shoes with a really sleek modern costume, or you're wearing a pair of perfect high heel boots, but they're clearly too big or too small, or you've just been walking in them for way too long. It's the winter coat over the Halloween costume as a kid thing again, you know, it's just...
One of the other side problems is seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Living in, like, the northern climes, you can't just have one costume and expect it to work everywhere. Because minus 40 and plus 40 are both temperatures
that happen.
That happen.
Yeah.
And if you're sometimes in the Americas,
yeah,
that is minus 40 and plus 90-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's where the layering can come in, if you can do it. But I mean, even the big conventions here, the weather is so sporadic, you can have something planned and be absolutely freezing to death.
And once you get inside, the climate control is dubious at best.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh. Also, being able to move. Being able to move is much more important than you.
That is honestly the big thing for me. So Gina designed a Handsome Jack costume for me for headshots, which is amazing.
And that was a quick and dirty one too.
She was upset by the amount of details that she compromised on. I remember. She's like, it's got to be authentic. I'm like, it's okay. This is already awesome. She's like, no, give me a couple more days. And that is one of the many reasons why we love her. But I remember the big stipulation for me is I have to be able to move in it. And my definition of being able to move in a costume is being able to juggle in a costume. If I can juggle with my whole body, I'm good. But like that is like and that is a big thing for me. I always love the look of those like hard foam power armor costumes. The Iron Man suits, the
Shepherds.
Titanfall, the Shepherds. Like, yeah, the Shepherds are a lot sleeker than the Iron Man's, too. Like, the Iron Man's and the War Machines are super bulky.
Or the Warhammer 40K guys that are, like, on, like, stilt shoes.
Oh, my God, I love that stuff. But at the same time, I look at it and I'm like, I need the freedom to move around, especially if I'm not at a con. If you're at a con, then you're going to have stuff that you're carrying around. So if you've got a prop or something, it's the same thing. I love those super elaborate props. I was at PAX East back in April, and there was this guy. I have a picture, and I will of course put it so you guys can.
You have a lot of crotch links.
Yeah, the show notes are important, man. That's how people find out about stuff. But no, there was a guy. He had like a 9-foot double-ended stone-bladed naginata. It was huge, and I was talking to him about it, and he had made the ends of which were each about 3 feet long, and he had made them out of battle foam. The whole thing, like, he had to carry it through doors, and it was super awkward. It looked amazing, but by the last day, that guy was not carrying that thing around anymore because if you're buying stuff or even if you're just at a party, if you just go to your friend's house for a Halloween party, and you've got a huge, awesome, elaborate prop, and you're sitting around trying to relax.
Yeah, there is something in the culture of cosplay that you have to suffer for your art. Mm. That if your costume is comfortable, you've done something wrong. Like,
right.
you could have been more authentic because costumes are not. If you can breathe, move, walk, and like are not crying or having to have like somebody else stitch you in or tear you out of your costume.
Honestly, my next cosplay, Raiden. For Mortal Kombat, guy just wears pajamas and a hat. Done.
I do remember one of the cosplays that we did. I will mention no names. But this person had never worn flip-flops before. Had never worn false nails before. Had never worn fake teeth before. And was wearing these three things. And was shuffling along, not knowing.
I am Nosferatu!
And I felt so bad because
I am Beach Ferratu.
This person didn't know what to do with their hands, right? They couldn't speak, and they were terrified of the shoes falling off because they didn't know how to walk in flip flops.
They're experiencing Beach.
This is the.
I believe that is the technical term for that. You can look it up in a cosplayer dictionary. I'm not going to link that below, though, so you can find that on your own.
But it's, I think it goes back to what you said about knowing your purpose.
Yeah.
I've done elaborate cosplays, but the purpose of them was I'm going to go and set up in this area and not move for 3 hours, and just I'm going to be the prop for other people, and that's a fun thing to do as well. Versus, there's no way as much people are like, oh, you wear your cosplay thing to this event or that event. It's like, no, because I can't sit down.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so yeah. I will wear what's, and then you're right, because then they consider it a lesser costume, even though I may have put more hours into Black Cherry and Bitch Pudding than I did something that is giant and boxy, right? But because I'm comfortable and adorable, it doesn't count.
Yeah, and that there is some, there are a lot of people that, and this I think goes for a lot of hobbies and fandoms, that sort of decide that however they do their thing is the right way and the only way, and anybody that isn't playing their game their way is playing it wrong, and they demand their ball, and that you then go home.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And that's not really fun. I think there's getting less of that. I am personally seeing less of that, that people are getting more, yeah, everybody's allowed to do this, I guess, now.
It depends on which circles you're running in, and I think it's more, I'm wondering if it's even more that they kind of segregate themselves off a little.
Yeah,
you don't get the same in-your-face stuff that used to happen at some of the conventions, but for the love of crap, don't go anywhere near the masquerade green room if you're wearing a store-bought costume. You will be heckled and torn apart because you've gone near that group that, you know, and their focus is craftsmanship and building everything, you know, from scratch. And I mean everything, because there's some rules in there. You get to certain levels. If you have anything that's store-bought, it has to be modified to a certain degree or you're disqualified for it as well. So I think those circles still exist, but I think they're sort of...
I think they've been ground down by the populace to having to be a fringe group again.
Possibly.
Which I'm not sure if they're happy or sad about. Because I think a lot of them got like, this is my thing because it's like... It's the hipsterism. It's like, oh, good, I'm fringe again.
Right.
I can be proud about my obscurity.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is the thing. Like, the costumes that you do, I could never do, but I love them. I don't think you think less of me because I pick up everything at the thrift store.
No, and you could totally do my costumes. You just don't want to spend 1,000 hours swinging a hammer.
And you know what? That's exactly it. I don't necessarily always want to build my costumes from scratch. I like to think I have the sewing skills that I could have done the jacket that we did for Handsome Jack. Instead, I'm not going to put myself through this for what it is or who it is. Not that I wouldn't have. I totally would have done it. We didn't have time. We went to the thrift store, bought a jacket, and hacked it. You know,
I was actually a little sad because when we bought that jacket, I really kind of liked it.
You did kind of like, want to keep it.
I'm like, I could just wear this as a jacket. She's like, I'm going to cut the crap out of it. Make you a cool costume. Like, I do want a costume. But no, it's an important thing is sort of knowing your limits and knowing your crowd. For people who are say going to Halloween parties or things like that, I think there's a lot less of that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot more room to admire a great costume, which, as we defined, is a costume that pays attention to cool details and also doesn't make you crazy and unable to sit. Or eat Fritos.
I think even then we're narrowing it down. A great costume is a costume that suits the purpose that it was intended to do. So if your costume was meant to go clubbing in, and you can't dance, then it is a terrible costume, no matter how good it looks. If your costume was to go wear it for half an hour and win an award, and that's what it does, then it is a great costume. But if you go and wear it, but if you then try to cross over, and they're not suiting the purpose that
that's when Chocolate Shepherd melts on the dance floor.
That is when Chocolate Shepherd melts on the dance floor. And
to be fair, Shepherd always melts on the dance floor. But no, I think that goes back to what you said about me not being happy with the Handsome Jack costume. And I was not happy with it because of time constraints. And I had to step back and say, okay, what are we using this for? What, you know, where it is, it's okay. But I one of the saddest things that I see at the conventions are people who, for one reason or another, and often a lot of the times it's the people who have put a lot of effort into their costumes, have gotten some sort of either negative feedback or for some reason they're not happy. And it's either, I see a lot of girls, I'm really attentive to this, that will often see, they've done a costume and then you meet the thinner, taller, what you think is prettier version of your costume, ruins your whole damn day for it. But that's going back to being confident and wanting to wear this, and why am I wearing this, and why did I put this out there? And for a lot of people, the costume is the first step to do that as well. I'm doing this to have fun.
Yeah, and chasing your joy, I think.
Yeah.
And sometimes that gets lost.
It does.
Sometimes in the details, like, so obsessed with this detail that you can't, you forget that you love the costume and the character and the play and the reason you're... Because for me, cosplay is more about the play than the cost.
That's right.
Yay! Dance. There's a lot of squee. I like squee.
Squee is good.
Squee
is very good. I did, one of my favorite costumes was to a My Little Pony Friendship is Magic convention. And I had no time, because I was busy. I went as Frazzled Rarity. My purple wig that I had that already existed was in shambles. So there's an episode where Rarity is actually so busy sewing costumes for other people that she's completely disheveled. So that's what I picked.
That's highly meta.
It really is. So I didn't have to fix the wig. I threw a pencil in my ear. I wore a white shirt, white pants, the sparkly shoes. And, you know, just when is that? And people, all I did was a couple little felt triangles on the white pants for the cutie mark. And I got so many compliments on it. And again, because it was fun and it was a little bit different and I didn't have to worry about it because it was this costume. I still want to do a glamorous Rarity or a spa day Rarity. Would be amazing. But, you know, I did what I could and had a great time.
That, I think, is the true secret to having a great costume. Is
to actually enjoy yourself?
Well, it's to
what are you talking about?
No, man? I mean it is to remember the purpose of why you were there, whether you're out trick-or-treating, whether you're out, going to... Like, we've talked about, you know, everything from the kids who are wrapped up in their parkas because it's negative 40 on Halloween to going to Halloween parties. Last podcast, we talked about the notion of the sexy nurse costume and stuff like that. But, I mean, the point is that if your costume serves your purpose and you are having fun...
And not ruining other people's
and
fun.
And not ruining other people's fun, you have a great costume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there are other... I'm just remembering other purposes for costumes. There is costume for social commentary and social experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my Slave Leo costume was largely a social experiment.
And getting people to touch your chest.
That was sort of the data that I acquired. That was not the hypothesis being tested.
It's okay. You can find all kinds of Ryan's videos, including making stuff and risking his own life doing crazy, crazy, stupid things. Underwater basket weaving in November.
Would have been fine if they'd turned on the heat in the pool.
On his channel, which is over here. And Gina, I don't think you have a channel.
I do not.
But you can find her doing more stuff on our channel in the futures.
Yes.
And I hope you guys have a really happy Halloween. And thank you guys for coming and helping me do this. And by helping me do this, I mean creating a podcast where you talk to each other and I eat candy for the whole thing. It was awesome! Oh, my inner fat kid.
Is becoming your outer fat kid.
Is becoming. Has become. Thank you. He's highly ambitious. But, no, thank you guys for coming. And we will do some more stuff together. Ryan and I did a video together, which won't talk further about.
We sure did.
But I'm Jim.
I'm Ryan.
And Gina.
And we're going to sign off. Stay awesome.